Good morning. Today I want to talk to you about what have you got to lose. Many times we say to ourselves, or we hear somebody say to us, try it, what have you got to lose? And that's one way of looking at it, but the other way that you could do is to underline the word you. What do you have to lose? Did I jump something? Okay. People are looking like I'm sorry, I've kind of had a difficult week, so bear with me. I'm working with it. What do you have to lose? What are the things that you have in your life that don't work for your highest and best good? And you know, most of the time, what we have to lose is an opinion of ourselves that we are less than perfect. Now, we know our faults and we know our own challenges, and so we forget our inherent divine protection and perfection. But the perfection that is in us is always there, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And we also say and know that when we love, when we forgive ourselves first, we are able to do that with others. We can lose the things that hold us back. Now, I look out at all of you and I don't see any people that are negative or bitter or frustrated or anxiety-ridden. I just don't see that. But then again, we each have a private life and we all have challenges in which we have to overcome certain judgments that we've placed on ourselves and on others. The judgments that we place on others, interesting, we first have to feel it inside. In Matthew 7, verse 1, Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, for what judgment you give out, I'm paraphrasing, is what you're going to get back. So when you feel that feeling of judgment inside, that's what you have to give away. And you give it to yourself first, and then to others who come in contact with you. I remember when I started in ministry, I wanted to get some basics down. And one of the basics was that I learned that unhappy people or angry people or people that we say seem to get away with it, there's one thing they all have in common. They're not happy. It's just not the way to live. It may seem like they're getting away with it to themselves or other people, but they're not happy. Happy people have happy ways. They've learned to lose those things that are not for their highest good or what they don't want manifested in their lives. We say in unity, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. We also say, as above, so below. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is perfection. We have only to embrace that. And the more that we do, the more our life flows and works. So I'm not going to ask you this morning, what do you have to lose? You may know it already, or you may have to think about it. I only know that the exterior of our lives mirrors so many times the interior. It's said that an angry person lives in an angry world, that a loving person lives in a loving world. But I would also like to say that sometimes we are in between those continuums. We kind of feel like, that's okay, and this is, you know, it's all right, or it could be better. But at each moment, you have a choice to say that where I am is the best place to be. And there is an interesting, I guess you would call it, theory that has been put forth by some Zen teachers, that it is helpful to realize that the next step you take was the one you had to take, no matter what it was. In other words, that next step leads to your highest good, whether you know it or not. Now, it may be less than good. It may be something that you see doesn't produce the results you want, but you're learning every moment, every day, every part of your life you're learning and accruing knowledge. So while the outside may not be commensurate with what you want, many times it's a perfect reflection of what you're feeling. People who harbor antagonism and anger and judgment and negativity and lack of forgiveness first have to feel that themselves. I remember a neighbor that I had who grew some wonderful pomegranates. And as a child, I used to love to go over there and raid the bush. But she was a very negative and angry woman about some things that had happened in her life. I remember that her fingers and hands were gnarled with arthritis and she suffered so. When I found out that she was an extreme critic of her son-in-law and her daughter, she couldn't forgive her daughter for marrying this man. Now, in one place, she was very nice to put up with this child raiding her bush, and I had wonderful memories of that. But in another place, she couldn't forgive her daughter for making a decision that was hers to make. And she suffered from that and suffered pain with that. And so I think that the more that we are able to be in the flow of life, or in the Tao, as it's called, the more that we are able to get in that great divine flow of energy, the better life works. The more we're apt to quickly forgive ourselves and others, because something goes off in our head that says, this isn't who I am, this isn't what I want, and this is something I want to lose. Now, when you say, what have you got to lose? Some people will say, well, I need to lose a habit. I overeat. I overindulge maybe in alcohol. I overindulge in one thing or another. And those are outside habits or mirrors of our interior. That's just the way it works. And I've said good psychology is good religion and good religion is good psychology. Psychology comes, actually the word psyche is soul in Greek. So psychology was soul study to begin with. And the more that these two come together and are healthy, the better I think it works. Joshua Loth Liebman, a rabbi in 1942, wrote a book that, although was not a New Thought book, it was called Peace of Mind. And what he did in that book was detail ways that we sabotage ourselves automatically because of the things we were told about ourselves when we were young, and by authority figures, and by those who we believed in that they had the knowledge because they were older, wiser, and far more competent, and we hold on to that. Let a child overhear when they're playing a piano or they're playing an instrument, let the parents say, he's just not so good at that, or that's just not, doesn't work, and they will hold that and not try. See, our words have power, especially our words spoken towards children and those that are very young. We're like sponges. And so what happens is we grow up with a lot of things to lose. But sometimes we halo that and say, no, that's just me. These judgments about myself are true. These resentments I have about other people are right. It's part of reality. They're living in an alternate reality that God never meant us to live in the first place. To forgive yourself for the judgments you make, to forgive yourself for any anger or anything that's less than the best, doesn't have to be a complicated, supplicating process to a reluctant God. It can be a simple decision to align yourself with that wonderful statement, God only knows perfection about you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, and that doesn't mean that you're not heir to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune of being human. But what it does mean is that you have a place to turn around in any moment and begin again. I love new beginnings. As a somewhat amateur watercolorist, I need them. I love to do watercolors, but I'm just not that good right now, but I'm getting there. So I love to throw it away and start over. And slowly but surely, each one's getting better. And I forgive myself for not knowing as much as I'd like to know. I thought I could sit down and just do something real cool, and it didn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in life. Life is an art. It is a practice. It is a day-to-day thing where situations and people are presented to you that many times mirror your expectations of yourself. So they say, and I think it's very true, that relationship begins with you. So if you're in relationship with somebody, you bring your stuff, they bring their stuff, and hopefully we meet in the middle. And sometimes it's kind of hard to connect because we each have expectations. And those expectations are sometimes skewed because of the opinion we have of ourselves, because what we have told ourselves and what others have said about us, especially when we were young. Therapist's office could be emptied if it wasn't for the words, "If only. I'm so bad. I don't deserve." These are the words of the ego. They're not the words of God. The words of God are the ones that we hold on to, and they refresh us and they renew us. In the Christian Bible, it says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." It wasn't just Christ Jesus who said these wonderful words of affirmation. Going through the New Testament, through Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, you can see that there was great emphasis by Paul. The Apostle Paul put upon what you think. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward towards the mark of the high calling. Also, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where religion got this morbidity about an angry and reprobate and reluctant God, I don't know. The words that I read are about new beginnings, fresh life, starting over, and keeping our eyes on the mark of the high calling. It was that way 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. It's that way today. Our opinions of ourselves, the things that we know we have to lose, and the things that we feel guilty for hanging on to, are pretty much the same from one generation to another. And I'll say that pretty much you can take the whole one basket and put in there the words, I am not good enough. And the truth of the matter is, you may not be good enough at certain things outside, watercoloring, artwork, things that you may need to learn. You may need to work at it and come up to a certain level. But you don't have to do that when you accept the love of God that corrects your misperception that you were ever anything less than what he said about you, she said about you. However gender you want to put on God, God believes in you. And if the Bible is anything, it is a love letter to you from the Almighty that says, I believe in you. In the first chapter of Genesis, God looked at everything he made and said, it is good. From there, we messed it up with our judgments, our misperceptions, and our own fears, frustrations, and anxieties. It's not God that's reticent. It's not a dual God. It's us with duality inside us, with forgiveness here, unforgiveness there. Love here, withheld love there. Now, I'm not saying just walk around and be a happy robot and let people walk all over you. That's not it at all. It's realizing that you have a choice how you're going to process these people, these folks, and anybody that comes in your life. There'll be times that you'll make mistakes. I made a doozy this week. I forgot something because of some things that were going on in my life that was coming right at me left and right, and I totally dropped the ball. You know what you can do at that time that's healthy for you and another person? Simply say, I dropped it. I messed up. And that's part of me, and I'll try to do better in the future, and how can I rectify this now? Instead of holding resentment and saying, well, I thought that person was like this, but they're not, and I'll remember that. That remembering can be very, very toxic. And those things, remember, that we hold against others, we're holding against ourselves. The best thing you can do is release those resentments and those frustrations and those angers that you've held on to. And then watch life become lighter. Watch yourself walk a little higher step. It's the way to live when you get down to it. Everybody knows love is the way we live. It's harmony, it's peace, it's joy, it's wonder. That's part of the wonder of God's world. Now, when I say, what do you have to lose? I don't want to know what you have to lose if you feel you have to lose anything. That's between you and your God or whoever you may have something that you feel ought against. As Jesus said, whenever you pray, forgive the ought you have against your brother so your prayers will be heard. Or, why look at the splinter in your brother's eye and ignore the board in your own? He always brought it back to us. It was always about, will you be made whole now? Will you take the responsibility of being a child of God? What will you do? I don't remember any time in Scripture that Jesus went into the idea of, let's talk about what messed you up and what they did wrong, and we'll hash it out. He always started right away and said, from this point forward, you are forgiven, you are healed, and you are made whole. Go walk in newness of life. If I'm doing my job, I'm reminding you of that every week. And when I craft a message, I always want to remember that there is a plethora of different emotions that are being felt out here. And there are secret hurts that all of us carry. And sometimes they go back years. And they're the ones that seem to be the pebble in our shoe. Or as Apostle Paul said, the thing that I wish I did do, I don't. And that which I don't want to do, I do. The human condition. Jesus understood that, and to me, Jesus was representative of God. The Buddha understood that when he said, you are what you think about all day long. Krishna said, if you hold it in your mind, and I'm paraphrasing, you will plant that on to the next person you meet. Each teacher, great teacher, always brought you back to yourself. So it may seem self-centered, but I believe in a positive self-centeredness. The positive self-centeredness is seeing how I can be better at each passing day. What do I have to give up in order to go up and grow up? Life is that if it's anything. It's learning if it's anything. And it's also about being kind to yourself and others. I have three rules that I live by. They may work for you, they may not, but I'm going to offer them. One is take care of yourself so you can take care of others if you choose. Don't hurt yourself and don't hurt others. And use everything, everything, for your upliftment, advancement, and growth. Now, that's three. Jesus had two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he added, and on this hangs all the law and the prophets. So when Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, he meant just that. Love was law's fulfilling. Love is the fulfilling of your life. Love is the taproot, the cornerstone, the lodestone, the very essence of you. And the more that you align with that, the more your life works. Jerry Jampolsky wrote a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. And when I first read it, I thought, well, I don't fear a lot. What does he mean? Well, it was judgment, it was guilt, it was perceiving my brother or sister as being less than who they were. Now, that book was very thin, and it was illustrated kind of like cartoon-like, and you all may have read it. But it was very profound, and it taught truth in a way that was the same as the old-time truth that was written in Unity. But it said it in a unique way. And it said, today I forgive my misperceptions about myself and others. Forgiving my misperceptions. In other words, perceiving my brother or sister as anything less than who they are. I want you to know who you are in God, in love, in truth. You are divine and wonderful, and your peace and your joy and your harmony is one decision away, one thought away. Now, I don't mean to be glib, but we all have to begin somewhere. And we begin by correcting the misperceptions about ourselves. Great spiritual masters talk about this repeatedly. It starts with you. Have you ever noticed that when you get a bunch of social reformers together, you get a lot of disparate voices and things try to get worked out and it seems like it's just a mess. But when you have people who are empowered by themselves, by decisions they make, they stand forth in a clear, correct, concise manner. Look at Martin Luther King, who could have torn this country apart because of civil rights and said nonviolence and non-resistance was the way. Love was the way. We honor those teachers who said love, not fear, not hate, not resentment, is what works and what works best. Love is who we are. Love is what we are, and that's what we have to give away. So when you think about what you have to lose, don't see it as giving up something of value. Because sometimes we value our judgments and our resentments. We hold on to them so tightly because they're so familiar. And we feel like if we let them go, they get away with it. I got news, they already got away with it. You're holding it on to it, is reliving it, and rescinding it over and over. It hurts you. God will deal with them, or whatever, because negativity doesn't last in the long run. It never works. So if we leave those things to God and the God within them and trust that that will be corrected, then we're able to say, I'll take care of my own household, my own mental household, my own spiritual household. And after all, that's all we're called on to do. We're called on to love one another, but to love one another with a pure love and a love that sees the best, believes the best, and acts that way in every situation. It sounds hard, but once you do it, once you give it a shot, so to speak, it becomes a little easier and a little easier. And then all of a sudden, you've changed your life. And that's what it's all about. I send you blessings this week, and I hope that whatever you decide you have to lose, you're able to do it with simplicity and elegance and love and self-forgiveness. Don't forget, cut yourself a break. Spirit does. God does. You could do it too. I give thanks for each one of you, and I send you forth and hope you have a wonderful week, wonderful Mother's Day, and I affirm the truth about you. Living love. And so it is.